Good evening. Welcome to the Rabbi Yosef Kalter B'Tocha Message Series, sponsored by Dr. and Mrs. David and Orly Simai, as a schus for a zivik for Yaakov Aaron ben Rochel, for Shleim of Eliyahu ben Sora, Mordechai ben Sora, Nidu Nishmas Malkobas Rav Chaim Yitzchok, Rav Shleim Chaim ben Rav Chaim Yitzchok, Elio Chaim ben Rav Chaim Yitzchok Oren ben Moshe, and Misha Gittel Basar Rav Eliezer Monoyach. Note that since in the parsha that we're going to read Shabbos, there is a one of the most famous and sometimes confusing episodes of Moshe Rabbeinu, and instead of speaking to the rock to bring forth water because they were complaining that they didn't have water to drink, so he hit the rock instead, and what really was involved in that. And I think that there is a profound lesson that we can all learn from this episode. It's discussed many of the Mefarshim and many different opinions and different approaches to dealing with it. But the Pasuk says that after the Maisa, when it happened, that instead of speaking to the rock, Moshe Rabbeinu hit it. Pasuk says, "Yan lo ha'amantem bi lahakdisheni le'enei b'nei Yisrael," because you did not believe in me to create the Kehilus Hashem, le'enei b'nei Yisrael. Therefore, you're not going to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. And Aaron and Moshe were both not able to go into Eretz Yisrael. And the pasuk expresses itself in terms of lahak. You didn't believe in me. A chesaron in emuna, maybe a chesaron in bitochin. Some would learn some chesaron. Now, when we talk about the chesaronus of the obois and the imohois and Moshe Rabbeinu and all these people, we have to know they were speaking about superhuman giants, such giants that their shortcomings are infinitesimally small, but for them, because of their greatness, they are considered serious offenses for them. For us, would not have been, maybe who knows what, maybe even a mitzvah, I don't know. But for them, on their lofty level of spiritual accomplishments, then even the slightest shortcoming, the slightest mistake, the slightest breach of the most darkest, the most imperceptible shortcoming, is considered serious because of the level of greatness that they were at. Anyway, so when we talk about lo ha'amantem, we're not, certainly not talking about on a very base level, but on some level there was something amiss over there. And the question is, how do we understand that? So the Das Kehinim Mibalei HaTosfos says as follows. He says that Hashem told Moshe, Dabru el b'nei Yisrael, talk to speak to them in front of the cellar, they should see with their eyes, they should see that I bring forth the water. They said, you listen here, you rebellious ones, can this cellar, can this stone bring forth water? Lomo terivu nimi. What are you arguing about with me? Can we bring forth water from the cellar? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Hamin hasela hazeh noitzi lachem moyim. From this cellar, can we bring forth water? He says, do you think we can do it? Im loya lidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Without HaKadosh Baruch Hu? V'im kein, derech tefila ubakosha hoi lachem levakish mimenu. You should have asked there of tefillah, because should have been mispala, should have begged, beseeched Hashem for it, not come to us with tainus. Veloy derech merivo utluna, not the derech of coming with tainus. Ulefi shohoya, listen to this. Ulefi shohoya lahem lefarish devrayim yoiser, because they should have expressed their words, they should have explained it better. They just said, hamin hasela hazen reitzi lechamayim, which says the message, but they could have been mefarish more. Hikpid HaKadosh Baruch, HaKadosh Baruch was makpid aleim, v'omar, yan lo ha'amantem bi. You are lacking something in your emuna. You didn't believe fully enough on your lofty level because of this that you did. Very strange. We're talking to the Dor Deah. the people that stood at Har Sinai, or their parents stood at Har Sinai, and depending on when this mice is taking place, and they knew they lived with Anani HaKovod and Mon, and they knew Hashem, they understood Hashem, they recognized everything is from Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, Hamin Hasela Hazeh Noitzelochem Mayim. So that's the message. That's exactly what you have to know. Can we bring water? It's all up to Hashem. But Moshe was mekatzer. He says, Lefisha hoylehem lefarish debrem yosef. They should have explained. Moshe and Aaron both should have given more explanation. They should have said, as he says over here, loma terivani me, why are you arguing with me? Can we bring water from the thing? If not, I the Hakadosh Baruch Hu. If that's so, then you should only do tefillah and bakosha and not to have tainus. And they didn't spell it out. Spell it out. But what? They're punished. They can't go into Eretz Yisrael. They're accused of some ever so slight lack in emunah. Something was lacking in their emunah, in their own emunah, because of the fact that they didn't spell it out, even though they said it to a generation and in a way that they certainly could have figured out what they're talking about. I think this is a very telling message that's relevant to all of us. You know, we speak a lot about bitochen. Well, we know that we have to also speak about emunah. And it seems from here that we have to speak a lot, that it's not enough to speak in short bursts of phrases, which basically say it, to the Dor Deo, that should have been communication enough. Can we bring water? You know, it's all up to Hashem. And what do you have to do? You have to turn to Hashem. You have to be mispal. But it seems that the tefillah, it was something lacking on their own lofty levels of emunah, of connection, appreciation of Hashem, because they didn't explain it more. Take more effort, take more care, take more concern. Spell it out. It says, we can't do anything. You have to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the only one who could do something. And you should turn to him with tefillah and bakosha. And if they didn't do that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was makbid on them, and he considered them together, something lacking in their emun and Hashem, something was lacking in that connection to Hashem, because they didn't spell it out. And I believe that for ourselves, and certainly for our children, and for Talmidim, and for friends, we have to take this lesson very seriously. It is an issue that we should be spelling out. We have to speak more. It's not enough that we say, oh, Hashem runs the world. That's true. We can't do anything without Hashem. That's true. But we can't do anything and everyone knows what it means. That's true. But we have to explain. And we have to explain what people need. We have to explain on the level of each generation, on the level of each class, on the level of each student, on the level of each child, on the level of each generation. It's what clear clarity spelled out, not the kitzur. Not taking emunah for granted. Not saying, okay, you know, we can't do anything. We can't explain to them. What do they explain to them? They know. That's what we have to explain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makbid on Moshe and Aaron because they were mekatzer. They weren't mefarish enough. In these inyonim, we need pirush. I imagine because they're very delicate inyonim and there's a lot of yetzahora or motivation within a person to not to accept this, because once you accept everything, you accept Hashem, then you realize there's responsibilities and obligations, and there's certain built-in yetzahoratic resistance. So, but we have to rise above that. And the way that we help people to rise above it is to spell things out, baruchu bitcha ktano, that it isn't enough just to hint, it isn't enough just to say, to make a statement of emunah, we can't do anything, Hashem runs the world. No. What do we do about it? Give us guidance. Learn about bitochen. Learn about tefillah. Exercise the bitochen. Use the tefillah, the tehillim, the tefillahs. This is what we have to teach. It's not enough to do it in a kitzur way. You know, I'm sure I've mentioned this story here, but it's to me it comes to mind when I talk about this. I think I mentioned it more recently when we lived in the San Fernando Valley, and it was late 10:30, late at night in the summer. My oldest daughter was going to camp, day camp the next day. And she asked me for 75 cents. I didn't have it at the time. Things were a little tough over there. What should I do? Say Tehillim. So, no, there's a God in the world. Hashem takes care of everything. No. What you have to do? Say Tehillim. Hashem responds to tefillah. That's what you have to do. And she said Tehillim, and she wondered, what's going to be? I need the money now. I'm leaving early in the morning. What happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to tefillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of it, and maybe even took care of it months before. What happened? And on the Purim carnival, which was about 4 months before, a friend of us borrowed 75 cents. And they forgot about it completely. Nobody ever mentioned it, not one to the other. That morning, that girl wakes up. She says, I'm going to camp today. I have the Cohen girl there, and I owe her 75 cents, which I forgot all about. She brought her to camp. Hashem listens to tefillah. Tehillim is a very good thing. Hashem cares about 75 cents. Hashem sends the message from 10 miles we lived apart in the valley of the city, but he takes care of it. We have to guide our children. We have to guide ourselves with specific details. It's not enough to talk when we tell a story. We should tell a story with all the pichifkas, with all the details, because that's what makes it good. We cannot be mekatzer in inyone emunah bitochen. We cannot allow ourselves to be mekatzer if we wish to convey the message. The message is too important, and the message is sometimes too difficult to convey unless we spell it out in clear graphic terms. And that was what was expected of Moshe Rabbeinu. It wasn't enough to say, Amin Asel Aseh. So I said, we can't. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one who can. And you should be mispalel u'mevakish mimenu. And otherwise, there's a tefillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hikpid alim, was makpid on what they did. This is the lesson that we have to learn. And I think those of us who come to this a gathering on a weekly basis to attempt to strengthen our bitochen, this is certainly a lesson that we could take to heart, because not only do we have an achrayus to strengthen emunah bitochen and everyone else, but we should keep in mind that when we spell out and strengthen specifically in detail the emunah and the bitochen of others, the greatest hashpah, maybe even greater than the other one, is upon us ourselves. Rabbi Saul Salanta used to say that if he speaks to 1,000 people and gives Musa, and if there's only one person who benefits, and even if that benefit is he himself, it's Kedai. We certainly can benefit by spelling things out for others, because when we teach others, when we explain to others, it goes into us. We hear it. We hear it better than if it was just a thought that was cooped up someplace in our brain or even in our hearts. And I think that's the lesson we have to learn from this. It's critically important that we're constantly ma'arich as much as possible. Every opportunity to share a story of Hashgacha Pratis, we should take advantage of. Every opportunity we have to explain the sugya of bitochen, the inyan of bitochen, the inyan of emunah. How is it? How does it go? What's it all about? And what are the nuances? And what are the concepts? And how can we internalize them? These are things that we must constantly convey, study for ourselves, and convey to others, because that's going to make all the difference. Emunah and bitochen are not something that can be said over or touched on lightly if they're to have their proper hashpah on us. Kol tov, good evening.